Blog Talk Radio.
This is TerraChat.
22:10:08.
In the dead of night, when my winter wounds shall not be healed from the wind which howls without fury. In the dead of night, when your friends have gone and you sit huddled around the castle's fire. In the dead of night, when all is dark, who will you be tonight?
There is nothing wrong with your computer.
There is nothing wrong with your audio
or your video.
We
are controlling transmission
for the next hour,
and we will control all that is here.
Let me repeat, there is nothing wrong with your computer. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery
which reaches from the inner mind
to TerraChat. Thinking outside of the box.
You're in the night zone with the calling night.
TerraChat and a number of its affiliate stations and website will make every effort to bring whatever information is possible available to you. However, TerraChat reminds you...
Keep your dental.
Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Colin Knight.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, madam and messieurs. Welcome to the Night Zone. My name is Colin Knight. I'll be with you for the next hour. For those of you who receive the feed through our affiliate networks down the line, we're glad you've stayed tuned after the news. And for our Blog Talk listeners, thank you for patiently waiting as we joined the network.
And this is the Night Zone.
With our special guest tonight, Stefan Woodsney. The Great Pyramid of Egypt, the last remaining wonder of the ancient world, was designed and built to represent the greatest wonder of all, us.
All background music and bumps heard on TerraChat can be found at GarageBand.com. This is TerraChat.
22:10:08.
In the dead of night, when my winter wounds shall not be healed from the wind which howls without fury. In the dead of night, when your friends have gone and you sit huddled around the castle's fire. In the dead of night, when all is dark, who will you be?
There is nothing wrong with your computer.
There is nothing wrong with your audio
or your video.
We
are controlling transmission
for the next hour,
and we will control all that is here.
Let me repeat, there is nothing wrong with your computer. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery
which reaches from the inner mind
to TerraChat, thinking outside of the box. You're in the night zone with the calling night.
TerraChat and a number of its affiliate stations and website will make every effort to bring whatever information is possible available to you. However, TerraChat reminds you...
Keep your dental. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Colin Knight.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, madam and messieurs. Welcome to the Night Zone. My name is Colin Knight. I'll be with you for the next hour. For those of you who receive the feed through our affiliate networks down the line, we're glad you have stayed tuned after the news. And for our Blog Talk listeners, thank you for patiently waiting as we joined the network.
And this is the Night Zone.
With our special guest tonight, Stefan Woodsney. The Great Pyramid of Egypt, the last remaining wonder of the ancient world, was designed and built to represent the greatest wonder of all, us.
All background music and bumps heard on TerraChat can be found at GarageBand.com. Support your local artists.
The Egyptian Pyramid, the last remaining wonder ancient world redefined.
You are listening to TerraChat
on blogtalkradio.com.
Stefan Woodsney was first published at 17. Plains Cree and French Canadian author and storyteller Stefan Woodsney's writing credits include a columnist for a national native newspaper, The Windspeaker, and a book of short stories entitled First Flight, Tales of the Nomad. Besides penning articles for environmental and regional periodicals and newspapers such as The Nation and Alberta Sweetgrass News, he has also spent the better part of 15 years toiling to create DreamingThePyramid.net. Stefan is a practitioner of the martial arts of ninjutsu and is at ease in any wilderness setting, equipped with only a knife and matches. Aside from English, he is fluent in French and proficient in both Spanish and German. When we return,
Pyramids and Pie with Stefan Woodsney. I'd like to invite those that have not registered with blogtalkradio.com yet to head up to the Blog Talk site, www.blogtalkradio.com. Register as a listener, add us to your favorites. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Colin Knight.
And good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Night Zone. My name is Colin Knight. I am with you for the next, 48 minutes or so. We had a little connection problems getting Stefan up into the system, but I do see Stefan is online, and we'll be bringing him on in just a little while. As you heard on the preamble, Stefan is one of those amazing characters you don't find very often. And I have crawled all over Stefan Woodsney's websites trying to understand exactly what is going on. And you know the best way to understand all of this and the best way for it to be explained is for Stefan to do it himself. So ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce to you tonight Mr. Stefan Woodsney. Good evening, Stefan. Bonjour, mon ami. Comment ça va? Ça va bien, très bien, oui?
Ça va très bien, Colin. Merci beaucoup.
Well done, sir. Well done. Us Canadians don't get to use our second language very often, so I usually throw it in there as often as I can. Stefan, I got to tell you, your website is absolutely overwhelming to me. There's a plethora of information out there.
Thank you, Colin. I put a lot of work into it, so it's nice to get feedback like that. It's been a work in progress since the ebook itself was being written since I was the age of 25, so that's 15 years ago. But the website itself was starting to be made in March of last year, so it's really nice to have feedback on it.
I must say it's very well put together. It's what I call a speed site. Many sites you get to, they get bogged down and you just can't get to page two or wherever you're going. Your site is quick, reactive, and makes you comfortable. So anyway, Stefan, I just wanted to say that just to let you know that there are people out there that are hitting
your site left, right, and center, and hopefully after tonight, you'll see quite an increase in traffic. So, Stefan, how about giving our listeners a teaser of what Dreaming the Pyramid is all about?
Colin, what it is about is that the website presents the idea that the Great Pyramid is more than just a monument. It's actually just a symbol. And one of the reasons why, if I had to put it in just one sentence, the pyramid is us, and it does it in such a way that it's so simple to understand that you realize that there's no need to go to Egypt to see it, because every time you look in the mirror, you see the pyramid itself. You are the pyramid. However, having said that, I'd like to present one caveat, is that I don't denigrate or put down Egyptian archaeology itself. I just merely present an alternative aspect of it.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. So your understanding is that the pyramid is a concept of the perfect man who is almost ascending to godlike status.
Yeah.
Is that what I extrapolate from your information, Stefan?
Yeah, that's it. And there is a danger there. Some people say, well, we're not gods. Well, I think that we're godlike. We're probably not God ourselves. But we certainly have the power invested within us, inherently invested within us, that was given to us from on high.
And if we were made out of God's own image, then we would have to also have those extrapolations that God would have.
Exactly, Colin. And the other thing is that with everything that we've achieved in the past as a species, put it really simply, we really aren't that powerful yet. We're just starting to get reclaiming our powerfulness. And by that, I mean, you look at everything that's happening within science, within spirituality, within disciplines such as remote viewing, a whole bunch of things. And the human beings that are going to exist, even just 100 years from now, possibly even as low as 20 years from now, they're going to eclipse ourselves right now in the future. We're on a beginning path to just absolute fantastic days and years ahead.
I think so too. I've been talking with one of our regular guests, Mr. Marshall Masters, regarding the future of 2012. What goes after that? Yes, there will be a cataclysmic event, whatever that event will be, but after that, life will go on. You had something on your website that really hit home to me, and I just want to bring it to our audience's attention. On dreamingthepyramid.net, that's the website we're looking at, ladies and gentlemen. If any of you are here live and you want to go to the website live, www.dreamingthepyramid.net. But on your website, you had a statement that caught me quite off guard, and it went, the human journey is not ending, it is beginning. We are no longer the spoiled children we once were on this beautiful Mother Earth. We are teenagers coming to terms with our abilities and powers, as well as our roles and responsibilities towards each other, the world's flora and fauna, and cosmic visitors from abroad. And you went on to say, but I thought that was such an all-encompassing, powerful statement, Stefan. And congratulations for coming up with that.
Well, as I say, and many times on the site and in the ebook, a lot of the information that was put into the Dreaming the Pyramid has been inspired, and by that I mean possibly from a source outside myself. People say, do I think that it's channeled? I guess to a degree it might be. But I would hesitate in giving all the credit to that. I think I also put in a lot of work. But at the same time, I feel that whatever source was pushing me or inspiring me to help create this only helped me to the degree that I needed it, and that they just let me go with whatever direction I... If they felt I was already on the right path, they didn't push, in other words.
Okay. Now being a Cree Canadian... do you think any of your spiritual ancestors or the power of the native way had anything to do with how you came about your vision?
Yes, Colin, I think I do, because what happened was Dreaming the Pyramid actually has a long ago predecessor. In 1969, my father, Winston, had a dream. I think it was in March or April, he told me. And he saw himself in a valley with a cousin of his, and they were approaching a large mosaic on the ground in this field, and he could hear singing all across the four directions of north, south, east, and west. And he could identify all the singing coming in from all the directions except for the east. He couldn't identify the east because it sounded new to him.
Mm.
And as they continued further, he and his cousin, his female cousin, they came to a large mosaic on the ground. And right then, she said, I have to stop here. I can't go on, Winston. You're going to have to go on your own. And Dad did. He continued on his own. And as he continued walking down the valley, he looked to his left. And he tells me that he saw a group of what looked like businessmen to him in business suits and ties. And they were holding signs having mathematical symbols and equations over their heads. He didn't really know what they were. And as he looked a little further down the valley, all of a sudden he was stunned because he saw three huge pyramids in the distance. And that's when he woke up. So I feel that part of the journey has been transferred to him, to me, from him. And
yeah.
I'm just continuing it on in a different way. But I strongly feel that, our elders from way up north and our west, I can't repeat what they've said because it wouldn't be accurate. It's been so long ago now. Plus, it was during a ceremony, too, so I wouldn't be able to say it. But I do remember hearing them say that we had ancestors that lived in a civilization that went under several thousand years ago. So I'm not sure if they referred to Atlantis or Lemuria.
Right. I tell you what, Stefan, hold that thought. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll pick it up right when we get back.
Sounds good.
Paranormal events are not a modern phenomenon. They are mentioned in academic texts throughout history, dating back to very origins of mankind. The majority of religions from around the world have wrapped themselves in this divine return of godlike beings based upon scattered written word. The complexity of universal understanding is only recently being understood. The Sumerians write of the return of godlike creatures known as the Anunnaki. These were the angels who descended to earth and bred with the daughters of men to form a workforce, a slave world, for the Anunnaki's needs. UFO sightings and paranormal events are reported throughout the world on a regular basis. China embraces citizens' reports of UFO contact. British Columbia, Canada reported crop circles forming in under 20 seconds. Reports of incandescent or brightly colored balls of light, shafts of light, or structured flying craft are obvious. To date, there have been over 10,000 reported and documented crop circles throughout the world. While many still go unreported each year, the emergence of the phenomenon in the world media and the internet has allowed more information to be shared. TerraChat and a number of its affiliate stations and websites will make every effort to bring whatever information is possible available to you. However, TerraChat reminds you,
keep your mental.
And indeed, caveat emptor. All information that is transmitted, of course, is the liability of the person speaking, and not necessarily TerraChat, Blog Talk Radio, all his own. So, with that said, Stefan Woodney is with us tonight, and we're discussing the pyramids and the prophetic dreams that brought Stefan to the understanding that he has. So, Stefan, the pyramid. You talk about the pyramid being the perfect form of man, that it is a depiction. That isn't quite the right word, but...
Well, in essence, I feel that the pyramid represents us either as we once were or us as we are becoming, and possibly both at the same time. And what I mean by that is that if you look at all the achievements and all everything that we've done so far to date, And really, again, we're not really that advanced. Imagine how much more we're going to achieve in the future at this rate of progress if nothing happens to halt us from that. I think the years ahead are just going to be fantastic for us as a species.
Right. So again, let me delve back into the native culture because it fascinates me, the tie-in, because I believe there's some power there. I genuinely do. I believe there is something of energy, whatever Mother Earth is giving. I think there's something to be had with some of the legends and fables of native culture. With that said, have you looked at this vision or this thought during a sweat lodge or a sweetgrass ceremony? Or was there anything particular that assisted you in heading in that direction?
To tell you the truth, Colin, although I grew up as both a traditional Native person, but also as a person with a Catholic upbringing.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Well, yeah, like my mother is French Canadian and Catholic, and my father on that side is Protestant and traditional Native, but he's become much more traditional Native since he's entered his 20s.
Right.
And
right.
Growing up, like, I was always immersed within the Native culture, either on my own reserve or traveling with Dad, because he's an entertainer, and we would go to different First Nations communities around Canada.
Right. Okay.
And so I had a lot of opportunity right when I was young to participate in different kinds of ceremonies. Mm-hmm. Very few of which I can mention here, but there's, you know, standard pipe ceremonies and sweat lodges and stuff like that.
I accept what you're saying. My point being is that I think maybe this upbringing tuned something that gave you that tuning, taught your brain, your mind, your heart, your soul, whatever, to focus in a direction that gave you the ability to understand dreaming the pyramid?
Perhaps it did, in the sense that the connection with nature, for one. If you said that you read the sites quite a bit, so I guess you've seen the part where I went on those canoe trips.
Yeah, very much.
And,
so.
And there was two canoe trips like that, both of which were over 4,500 kilometers. And during that time, I would sleep out on the land and eat things like geese and cattail roots.
So definitely return back to the land.
Yeah,
you were as close to nature as possible, probably.
Yes, and also what it did was that it enabled me to look inside and learn about myself, from my own perspective, and tune out all the other noises that we hear in the cities and telephones ringing and expectations and all that, and just really tune in. I think that any culture in the world that gives great importance to nature, and especially of being in a long period in nature, has that potential. I wouldn't say that it's exclusive to Native culture, although perhaps stereotypically speaking, a lot of people throughout the world might think that.
Well, I think, believe it or not, if you look at the Native culture and their beliefs and system, and you look at the pagan culture out of Europe, who believe in Mother Earth, And there is so much of a similarity that you have to question who brought down this information, because it's thousands of years old. So I do agree with you that there is much to investigate about that, much to investigate indeed. So let me ask you this. What's this about pi? I tried to get my head around it, but I just couldn't quite go there, Stefan. And I don't know what I'm missing with your theory of pi.
Well, look at pi as there's only really, as the film Contact said along, I think it was in 97 or 98, there's only one really universal language, and that's numbers.
Okay.
You can use numbers to communicate just about anything, especially if you put it into binary format or anything like that.
Which we are doing right now via a computer. They are translating our numbers back into audio. I mean, you know, so we're dealing with numbers. I'm with you on that so far.
Yep. And pi, of course, is a universal concept in terms of the ratio, you know, between a circle's circumference and its diameter. And so that in itself is a universal concept. Now, when I was looking at the pyramid, and when also when the pyramid was coming to me through dreams, pi would also strongly feature. And pi was also one of the elements that was reported in Dad's dream in 69. He was telling me about that. So I kind of put that out of my mind for a while. But as I was creating the book and everything else, everything started coming back towards pi again. And gradually, I thought to myself, there's no way that whoever designed the pyramid put that value in there out of coincidence. It has to be there for a reason, just not just for mathematical reason, enabling one to make calculations, but it has to be a message as well. I just can't believe that it's not. So I didn't really have anywhere to go with that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry to have interrupted. What were you saying?
No, I just said, so it had to be a signal of some kind for some reason. Somebody
well, that was the premise that I started off with.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the premise that I gradually started off with. And I didn't really know where to go from there, except that years, probably when I was around 22 or 23, I started dabbing gradually into Chaldean numerology, which I still look at to this day. And in all forms of numerology, there's only two numbers that are highly, highly unique in that form of numerology, and they're both master numbers, the numbers 11 and the numbers 22. And the 22 is quite special because in the tarot, the 22nd card of the tarot is called the Fool. And the Fool, there, you know, Colin, there's a fool in every village. You can go to any village on the world and you'll see a fool
block
there somewhere. He's usually the guy riding on a bike when everybody else is by a car. He laughs at things that everybody cries about. He cries about things that everybody laughs about. He's just one of the... He's like what we call in our native culture the hayoka, or the trickster person.
Okay.
And these people that exist like that, we see them as teachers, but on levels we don't quite fully understand as mortals. Not to say that they think of themselves as gods or anything like that, but... And so the number 22, teaching from that angle, could be seen as a form of wisdom in light form. In other words, if they represent enlightenment, well, it's just one short step from there to say that they represent light itself.
Okay.
You know, so in other words, putting that into a word form, the wisdom of God would be seen as folly by men and vice versa.
Right.
Yeah. So pi, in that sense... Pi wasn't always 3.14. It has changed throughout the centuries. We've got an ultra-long and ultra-chaotic version of pi nowadays. I think the record right now is 56 billion digits after the decimal.
Oh my
but
God.
The Egyptians, the version for pi that they had was very unique because it was only one ratio. It was 22 over 7. That was a ratio that was studied in most schools until, I think, around 30 or 40 years ago.
Yep.
And the result of dividing 22 by 7 is that you only get one series of digits. You get 3.142857, and then those six digits repeat themselves, 142857, 142857, 142857. So looking at pi in that context, I gradually started thinking of it as a message, as a journey, so to speak, from spirit to the flesh and from flesh back to spirit. Now, putting that in our context as humans, I believe that as humans long ago, prior to our current state of being, that we had the ability to materialize and quite possibly dematerialize or at least ascend to various dimensions at will. And pi would be the numerical representation of that, starting with 22 and going right down into 142857.
That makes a great deal of sense. Oh, hang in there. We've got to go to another break. At the bottom of the hour, we'll be right back. We'll be right back.
things that go bump in the night. Have you ever had those moments where you know someone is there? Have you ever had those times where you think you see a flash of a person or a shadow? We delve into the inner sanctum of paranormal activities. Paranormal at its best with some of the brightest and the best investigators in North America. Come with us on a journey, possibly an enlightenment.
Coming soon. Watch for the listings.
In the Night Zone, we'd like to know what you think. So we open the phone lines each live session, and tonight is no different.
347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
If you are a registered listener, you can come to our virtual studio by clicking the chat button on the Terror Chat blog talk page and just click on the Talk to Host button.
347-324-3287. Call in now. 347-324-3287. You're in the Night Zone with the Calling Night.
Hello, this is Chris Holly from Endless Journey. Recently, I have been writing about the extreme experiences of the unknown told to me by our viewers and listeners. Let us tell you about those who have had incredible sightings of strange objects in our skies, visitations by odd creatures and alien abductions. Understand what it is like to witness, touch, smell, and communicate with others from the unknown. Join us as we explore, share, and present what we discover. To find us, simply Google search 4 words, Endless Journey, Chris Holly, or visit while we reach into the paranormal and join our never-ending journey into the unknown. Endless Journey, Chris Holly. See you there.
Three 347-324-3287. Call in now. 347-324-3287.
And we're in the Night Zone with Stefan Wootany, discussing pyramids and the magical things that can go on with life. So you have in your opinion, your theory, you believe that we could transcend the physical barriers.
Yes, I believe that we could at some point, and that, well, even the Bible, Colin, I'm not a biblical person myself, but even the Bible says specifically that in the beginning everything was, you know, pretty much fine and dandy, and all the problems pretty much started when we started. I don't really want to get into that here right now, but it pretty much says in the Bible that everything in the beginning was fine, and it started going haywire at a certain point.
And, when we decided to sin.
Yeah, and also like when you look at that apple, if you slice the apple horizontally just off the center, when you open that apple up, you get a near perfect representation of the human hermaphroditic reproductive system.
Yeah.
So male and female. So I believe also that in the beginning, because it only makes sense again, I mean, that we were both male and female or a combination of right off the start in the beginning, that we had the ability not only to dematerialize and materialize, but also to switch gender at will.
Well, that's a kind of an interesting concept, but it's the old story: which came first, the chicken or the egg, right? I mean, we had to have spawned ourselves. I mean, that's just logical. At one point in time, a male and female, we know that the male body and the female body, you know, have the same organs. Whether they turn to female or male is dependent upon the genetic code and the coding, the DNA coding. So
I guess that depends upon perspective, because if you look at the science of cloning right now, Colin, you have actresses in Hollywood that routinely get cesareans, only because they want to preserve their waistlines. And I'm sure that if cloning or genetic or birthing outside of the birth canal was a possibility, a lot of those women would do it if it was made legal and something they could afford.
Yeah, if they had the cash, yeah, sure. I mean, they're paying women to carry babies now. So
yeah.
I do see what you are saying in that respect, very much so. But I think what we have to do is to be able to get our head around all of it, though, Stefan. And there's so much information and signals that the ancient ones knew a heck of a lot more than we gave them credit for. Yet, why would they have to code it? Why couldn't they just chisel it on a wall? Hey, dummies, don't press that button.
That's a good point. I guess, what I fell into the water when I was 5 years old and I didn't know how to swim. And I'll tell you, Kevin, I learned how to swim after that point because I had to, you know. And, of course, it was the doggy paddle, but it got me back to shore. But I was in trouble when I fell in. And I think humanity has fallen into trouble by the thousands of years of barbarianism, of killing each other, stealing each other, cheating on each other, tempting each other, the whole works, you know. And I think also that if they just came out and told us, would we grow as much? Would we appreciate that knowledge, I wonder?
Yeah. Well, would we add, I think the only way we would accept any kind of information like that, Stefan, would be, if all of a sudden the heavens opened and a voice looked down and said, Colin Knight, you have messed up. You know? Like that's the only way.
I guess you've heard that quite a little often as I have it.
Well, exactly. You know, I mean, that's the only way you can corroborate it in my, you know, my sense. And I think is that what it's going to take, is that big stick where the heavens do open and the voice is heard. Is it going to take a godlike appearance for mankind to realize that they're on the idea of beating each other about the head and shoulders for thousands of years to get their own way is getting a little futile?
Well, let's look at it from a perspective of a parent looking at their child. If we were to observe our child going through life and making small mistakes, and some greater mistakes, but not mistakes that killed them or hurt others or was devastating to itself where the child ceased to exist,
right,
we would probably only interfere to the point where that child needed it. In other words, and this brings up the whole thing of suffering here on Earth as well. A lot of people say, how can there be so much suffering? I mean, if there is a God, why does all this suffering even allow to exist? And my point of view on that is that if the other side seems more real than this one, than this reality that we're immersed in right now, this 3D reality, then from a certain perspective, virtually anything we experience here can be seen as temporary only, as a school, as a journey, you know, and that it only matters really on the other side, but we still have to walk this path the best way we can.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm getting a flag from my producer. I got to hit one more 30-second commercial, so otherwise I'm in big doo doo. So we'll be right back.
Okay.
All background music and bumps heard on TerraChat can be found at GarageBand.com. Support your local artists.
Listening to TerraChat
on blogtalkradio.com.
And it's hard to believe that we're into the final 15 minutes, Stefan, but we are heading into the final 15 already. So with all of this information, we were out 6 minutes at the beginning there trying to get the hookup. So that's what kind of called us short here a little bit. But with all of the information that you're providing on dreamingthepyramid.net regarding the pyramid and your vision, and all of the other dynamic links that you have there. You also have some ebooks, I believe, that
yes,
are available.
I have one ebook.
And you have some videos also on the website, correct?
Yes, that's correct, Colin. I have one ebook that's downloaded for free, so people
right.
can get that downloaded. And what I recommend also is that they bring it to a printer and get it printed out. It'll cost them around $30 to have a double side print and spiral bound.
Good idea. Good idea, yeah, definitely a good idea.
Yeah,
yeah.
And the video is a 59-minute video divided into five parts that they can view in 10-minute increments.
Right. So let me just kind of jump back a little bit. Now, I know you're not an architect and you don't wish to go to the physical building of the pyramid, and I can appreciate that, but what do you think happened? Why do you think they're there? What, you know... In the next few minutes, can you kind of tell me, like, why? Is it a paperweight? Is it a signal? What do you think it is? What is a pyramid?
Well, first of all, we have to accept the reality, and we know this, that Egypt is not the greatest, it's not the most end-all of pyramid sites in the world. I mean, there's pyramids everywhere in the world now that we know. There's Bosnia, there's
Absolutely.
India, China, off the coast of Japan, the Americas. North and South Africa. And
so what's it all about, Alfie?
Well, the other thing, too, is that pyramids might not even be just earthbound. If there are pyramids on Mars, then we also have to open up to the idea that perhaps they're interplanetary and perhaps even interstellar and intergalactic. Maybe they're put on each planet for the resident species of that planet to model themselves by and grow with so that they essentially can become the pyramid. In God form, in other words, immortal, omniscient, more or less androgynous, powerful, knowing, gentle. It's easy to be destructive, but it's extremely difficult to be kind and caring under all circumstances. And I believe that as a symbol, the pyramid can teach us that.
Yeah. The only concern I have is if there is a message that the ancient ones wanted to pass to us, why would they make it so cryptic that it has taken us thousands of years to decipher? That's my concern, is what were they afraid of, that somebody would know about it before its time? Was it a time capsule type of game?
Boy, that's a loaded question.
Yeah.
It's
one of those questions that you go, I wonder, is that possible?
Well, Colin, I hope that people looking at my material don't think that I figured out the pyramid.
Right.
Because if the pyramid represents us, I don't see us as a problem to be resolved. I think we should see ourselves as beings to be related with and gradually understood and forever understanding. And this is just another step in another direction. So.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it's going to take a cataclysmic event such as 2012 doom and gloom to affect a change in society. I don't think society will willingly go in the direction that is required.
Probably not. But the thing is also that we're extremely resilient as a species, but the greatest cataclysmic change that could happen and should happen, and people will ultimately resist even greater than the ones that happening without, will probably be the ones happening within. It takes so much to look inside oneself, to become introspective, and start asking questions that the majority of people just don't do it. I'm sure your listeners do, and have done
yeah.
it, simply because they're on their show and they're already along those lines. But the masses, they haven't started looking at themselves yet.
Yeah.
Not in general.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, and there has been a veil of ignorance next week I have a young lady on that's a pagan witch. And I've already got negative email saying, how could I have somebody on, you know, that's anti this and anti that, and it just bizarro stuff, you know?
Well, kudos on you for stepping into new frontiers like that. I applaud that for you.
Well, I think it deserves to be explored. Now, you know, this person is not going to do the Eye of Toad and, you know, Wing of Newt or whatever the heck it is. And you know what I mean? Like, and it's silliness. You know, it's just absolute silliness. These people genuinely follow a different path than Christianity. And so what is wrong with that? They don't hurt us.
Is it, if all the leaves grew on the same side of the tree would topple over. It has to be branching out of humanity into different paths.
Now that has that has to be a cultural statement you just did there, because that is wonderful. That is a very natural nature statement.
One that I used to hear from my elders all the time when I was a kid.
You see, I picked up on that. Hang in there.
This is Terror Chat. We are in the Night Zone. Call it.
And you are in the Night Zone with Colin Knight, and I have with me tonight Stefan Whitney. And I'm always concerned when I say your last name, Stefan, because I don't want to screw it up, because a Canadian native name is so delicate in its language, and I think it's just wonderful. And, you know, it'd be like you calling me Knight, I guess, you know, like. But so Stefan, is your native culture in the Quebec region, is it still as strong as ever? Is there still a Mother Earth mentality in the native community?
Our reserve is in central Saskatchewan, and it has in the 60s and 70s. The native cultural awareness took on new levels where it started, it was a renaissance of native culture, basically, and we started leaving behind more and more the church teachings, the indoctrination that occurred in late 1800s and early 1900s. Now, what has happened today is that some of the communities throughout Canada have retained the strong church indoctrinations and church dogmas. And they've totally, you know, just about totally refused anything to do with traditional native culture. But other communities,
right,
a very sizable portion of them have actually gone the other way and have actually started becoming really traditional. Drumming groups are springing up all over the place. There's ceremonies being held. And it's almost, I see pretty much everywhere now that traditional beliefs and culture is coming back strongly within the native community. It's nice also to see the non-native community adopting some of those precepts, because as you said earlier, everyone at one point was indigenous, you know, whether it's Celtic or anything like that, or pagan. And I'm really always happy to see people re-embrace that that side. And also the other thing too is that traditional church doctrine actually hides a lot of paganism within itself if you really analyze it from a certain angle.
Absolutely. In fact, while I was
really see a conflict.
While I was doing the research for the pagan witch, and I dug into paganism a little deeper than I would normally, and I find that many of the songs that I sang in church are derivatives of pagan chanting prayers to Mother Earth. And like Good King Wenceslas is a prime example. Oh my Lord, there was one song there that I sang as a kid in church all the time at Christmas. And it's a pagan chanting song. And I was shocked.
Oh yeah, and there's lots of examples of it. I think it would be really interesting, for example, to see the 18 years that are missing from the Bible from Jesus' life and how he learned, probably, and how he traveled all over different parts of that part of the world and learned from other masters. I think it would be a fascinating story.
I wonder why it's missing. It would seem to me that if somebody so omnipotent was capable of sending a person to Earth in the likeness of God, the Son of God, that he would have things in place where those slabs weren't going to get burnt, crushed, or damaged, and he would be able to pass that information on. So, you know, I question the motive or method of how the information is being passed on. If it is that important, why did they encrypt it in such a manner that it makes it next to impossible to understand? Or have we done that ourselves? Maybe the information is pure. We're just reading it wrong.
Yeah, I think so too. And also, you know, you can try to divert a river all you want, but the river's just going to take its original bed at some point anyway. And
Sooner or later,
yeah. You know, either outside of that document or within it. All you have to do is look back to the Da Vinci Code and how that created an international stir.
Yeah.
And regarding Dreaming the Pyramid, I just want to say that a lot of people have been asking me, well, why don't you get your book published? Well, I've tried, believe me. I've sent over 150 query letters, proposals, packages, complete video packages to editors and publishers and agents all around the world. And I haven't resigned totally from trying, but I've decided to go on a different route and create the market for it by having the public aware of it. And perhaps...
Well,
you know, if they want to contact me at some point, I'll remain open to that, but it's not something that I'm pursuing openly right now.
Absolutely, and I think you're doing it the right way. It's not going to get you rich by no means, but I think you being able to put it to the internet, coming to shows such as mine, and looking at the lineup on your site, you know, you've got some upcoming events coming up that you're going to be on there doing what you do best, as you've done tonight. You know, you've got Underworld, radio talk show with Leah Ramsey's over there.
Mm-hmm.
And November, you've got the APSR radio. That's with Mike Johnson. That's a good one. You're going to enjoy it. You will enjoy that one. And then December, mid-December, you've got Whispers Radio with Nick Queen. So, yeah, oh, and Jordan. Let's not forget Jordan. Get all upset with Nick Kedmet. But... So, yeah, you know, you're going to be a busy fella, and I think you're doing it the right way, sir, getting the information out. So, you know, from one Christian, God bless you, because the truth will set us free, whether we admit it today or tomorrow. Sooner or later, it will set us free, won't it?
It will, and let's enjoy the journey while it lasts. If the journey was suddenly over today, and we didn't have anything trying us and testing us, I think we'd be probably missing the old days. So let's enjoy it for what it is, and let's help each other out in the meanwhile.
I think so, too. Stefan, it's been an absolute pleasure, sir. I would like to get you back, and we'll go through some of the awakenings and some of the other interesting things on your website. But in the meantime, make sure I get this right. Dreaming the Pyramid, one word, dreamingthepyramid.net. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, to all of our listeners, head out there and check out Stefan's website there and acquaint yourself with the star people and have a look at the human pyramid. It's fabulous, fabulous stuff. Stefan, it's been an absolute pleasure, sir.
Thank you, Colin. I had a great time on your show, and if you ever want to have me back, just give me the word and I'll be there.
It'll be my absolute pleasure. Stefan, God bless. Take care, sir.
Thank you.
And ladies and gentlemen, that's it from Stefan Wutemi. fabulous look at the pyramids and the ancient ones, as I call them, because we don't know what's out there. We don't know where it came from, how we got there. We guess we know, but we really don't know, do we? Anyhow, I've got to get out of here.